You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh, my goodness. Send me a text, 2057. Email me, inbox at realitycheck.radio. Have you ever read a book that you wished you had read years ago? And you have the sense that if you'd read that book years ago, you would have lived a different life. I've had that experience, and I want to share the two books with you, and I want you to think about whether there are books that you have read that you wished you had read years ago, and the reasons, and we'll share on Reality Check Radio. My first book is a strange one. Oh, my goodness. It's Robert Caro's book, or should I say books, on Lyndon Baines Johnson. It's a biography. It's like nothing else. Robert Caro has spent, 40 years writing it. It's four volumes, and it's over 3,000 pages. Can you imagine it? I'd been told years ago the book keeps coming out. There's a fifth volume still to come. The majority of his presidency and the rest of his life is still yet to be covered in what Robert Caro must be approaching 90, still going. The book is magnificent in every way a book can be magnificent. The writing is magnificent. It's a page turner, 3,000 pages, and you can't stop reading it. I read it, 3,000 over pages, and started all over again. I've only done that with one other book, and that was Conrad's Heart of Darkness. I just loved the writing. I loved the amazing insight into American politics, which I didn't have much interest for particularly. I certainly had no interest in Lyndon Baines Johnson, but this book, oh my. The description of what it was like to live in the poor part of Texas before electricity, and these women made old before their time just from having to pump and carry water by hand. Hard, hard lives. The grinding poverty that Lyndon Baines Johnson grew up in. One of the most extraordinary parts of the book, it's the characters in the book, not just Johnson. One of the most extraordinary parts of the book is his long-term mistress, Alice Glass. What an amazing woman. She grew up in obscurity in Texas. Her father was a bank manager, I recall. And she worked as a secretary to a senator. She was beautiful. She was ultimately described many times over as the most beautiful woman in America. Certainly the most elegant. And holding her own with conversations with world leaders. But she's working as a secretary. A state senator. And there was a wealthy man called Charles Marsh, who was a newspaper magnate. And he saw her and fell in love, and they were together. And he built for her this beautiful palace in Virginia. No, palace isn't the right word, sort of stately house. And people used to come and stay there and just be amazed by the elegance and beauty of this stately manor in 1,000 acres and watching Alice ride her horses. Anyway, picture this. Charles Marsh was a very good donor to Lyndon Baines Johnson, very big supporter of him. Charles Marsh left his wife and family for Alice. They had a tempestuous relationship, because she kept having affairs, and so he would have affairs in retaliation. It's not necessarily good people in this book. But Lyndon Baines Johnson had a long, long-term affair with her, and in fact was thinking of leaving his wife, Lady Bird, for her. Very intense. They'd have their ups and downs. It was kept secret from Charles for many, many years. He did find out, I think. She got sick of him lying about his war service during the war and dumped him for a while, but it seemed they got back together. But the description of her life and her beauty and her elegance and her power particularly over men, it's truly amazing. There's another great character in the book called Coke Stevens. Oh, Coke Stevenson? Coke Stevenson. He was just this tough guy. He was working, I don't know, age 10 or 11, driving a wagon train across Texas, a week out, a week in, sleeping under the horses or under the wagon at night on his own, dreaming of better things. And he worked his way up. He got a job. He taught himself while he was driving this wagon across Texas, making a living. He taught himself accounting. He went to get a job in the bank, couldn't get the job, started out sweeping the floor, ended up the bank manager, I think ended up the owner, ended up a rancher, ended up very rich. And even as an elderly guy, he could come along to the radio and still put a show on and win. And he was always elected. Coke Stevenson didn't even need to campaign. He was so famous as a cowboy. His life, he was the genuine article. He was such an amazing guy. And he raced against Lyndon Baines Johnson. And LBJ cheated him out of the race. Cheated. Totally cheated. You're reading this, you can't believe it. On and on it goes. And what you learn about this book is how Lyndon Baines Johnson knew, just instinctively knew or studied it, how to manipulate people and how to control them. Oh my God, he was good. And you look back on it and you think, I would have been so much more resilient to being manipulated if I'd read this book and knew that such people existed. You don't admire Lyndon Baines Johnson. You admire the power that he wields and his ability. But like, he's so ambitious in its pursuit. Everything gets sacrificed for power. And how he uses it and how he wields it, which is Caro's point. Caro writes this book by living their life. He lived in Texas for 3 years, just down the road from where Lyndon Baines Johnson grew up. He'd walk through Washington, D.C. at the precise hour when Lyndon Baines Johnson would be walking through those streets to work, just to get the feel for the city. And he still types his manuscripts on a typewriter. He writes them out longhand and then types them up on a page. And then he puts the page on the wall and he'd have 4 or 5 pages on the wall. And he'd be looking at them, editing them. And you feel this when you read the book. Not a wasted word. Not an extra word. Just the right words in the right place to make it a page turner. And you have an insight into what it is to wield power. Robert Caro, C-A-R-O, what a book. I heartily recommend it. And like I said, if I'd read it, I think I would have been better prepared for life, because I wouldn't be so naive about people who can use you. If that's the right word. I don't think I would have used the knowledge to use other people. It's not my thing. But this book would be proof against that, because you saw a master manipulator of people. I do wish I'd read that book earlier. I wish I'd read it in my 20s. I think I would have lived a different life. And now I'm listening to a book on Audible. Oh, I wish I had heard this book years and years and years ago. Over and over I listened to it. And I don't think you have to be a Christian to enjoy the book, because it's so magnificent. And the questions raised and discussed and debated, the timeless, and it's C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And I think if you're an atheist or a Buddhist or a Hindu, I think you still should read this book. Because, as I said, the questions are big. And eternal and human. But Christianity is such a big force in the world and in world history that you need to understand it. And perhaps reading the book, you become a Christian, like me. Yeah. But as C.S. Lewis explains, not just sort of like a Christian who believes or a Christian who goes to church, but deep down a Christian. What it means to be a Christian, that we do have eternal life. So how does that affect how you live? That you are created by God. That God begat Jesus, who was the perfect man and who died. Why? This is what C.S. Lewis addresses. Why did he die? And how could this man forgive us? Well, he could only forgive us if he was God. It's a fascinating book, Mere Christianity, beautifully written. Funny enough, it wasn't written as a book. It was written as a series of radio broadcasts. But more amazingly still, C.S. Lewis wrote them during World War II. He served in World War I. In World War II, he was given these broadcasts. And he provided these broadcasts that people have studied, like me, over and over and over ever since. Isn't that remarkable? And pondered his words, gone over his words, wondered if he's right, wondered if he's wrong. So much is challenging in this book. Not just if you want to be a Christian or you are a Christian, but it's challenging you as a human. And for me, I found this challenging. I worked out I'm a Christian because it's true, not because I believe. How strange is that? It's true. I wish I'd read Mere Christianity. Maybe when I was 20. I remember reading Plato's Republic when I was like 30 and realizing it was the first time in my life that I'd asked a question what it is to live a good life, because this is what confronted Plato. And he discussed and debated it. And I thought, that's amazing. And I started to think like Plato. I spent a long time studying Plato and the Greeks. But that's like kindergarten stuff compared to C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity. It's just another level. There you go. What are your great books? What are the books that you have read that you'd wish you'd read earlier that would have made a difference? I believe if I had read C.S. Lewis when I was 20, I'd be a Christian when I was 20. And I would have lived a different life. I think that. I don't know that. Send us your books and the reason why. I'd love to read it out. I'd love to share it with listeners. That's my two, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis and Robert Caro's. Robert Caro with a C, Lyndon Baines Johnson. Send me a text, 2057. Email me, inbox at radleycheck.radio. You're on Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Thank you so much for listening.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.